Let me ask you, what would it take you to stop serving the Lord? What would it take to derail your Christian life? For all of us, it's probably something a little different. So maybe, how about this? If a tornado came and destroyed your house and your car and your family, would you stop serving the Lord? Would you allow that to derail your Christian life? You're the only one left in your family. You have nothing left. You have no money. Would that be enough to do it? How about a tsunami? A tsunami came and destroyed all your stuff. Or maybe an earthquake like they had in Turkey. 23,000, the last I heard, but the number I'm sure is higher. And at this point, we're a distance away, and so we're thinking, oh, yeah, 22,000, 23,000, what's the difference? What if it was your family that was part of that number? We need to think of, the Bible says to consider those that are going through hardship as though we are with them in the flesh. So we need to develop empathy for people who are going through hard times. How about not something big and tragic? How about just simple bitterness? How about you're just upset about something and you just get your nose out of joint over some, frankly, from the lenses of eternity, something petty, something small? Maybe it's just a misunderstanding. Maybe the other person didn't do anything wrong at all, and you just woke up on the wrong side of bed, took it wrong, and get offended, and you get bitter. How about that? Would that be enough to derail your Christian life? It's happened to people better than probably you and me. So could it happen? Yeah, that could happen. That's a danger. We need to be aware of that danger. How about just simple, raw disobedience? How about you just don't want to do what God said? And you're an adult, but your attitude when you're looking up to heaven, from God's perspective, looks like that kid's face. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it how I want to do it. And you don't say it in those, you know, with that tone, because you have, you're a mature voice and you're a mature person and you don't have the squeaky little kid voice that says, no, I'm not going to do it. But if you say it like that, it sounds more silly, doesn't it? Well, that's what it sounds like when we say that to God. What would it take to derail your Christian life, to get you to stop serving the Lord? Let's look at some things here today, because I want to show you a guy. And I'm going to encourage you. This is going to be three messages. I'm going to use a red light, a yellow light, and a green light. And we're going to start today with don't be that guy, the red light. Okay? Scripture shows us exactly what happens in a person's life when God asks them to do something and they cop an attitude and say, no, thank you, I'll do it my way instead. Okay, so let's learn. God gave us the scripture, and it says over and over in scripture that God gave us the scripture so that we could learn from it, and we could learn how not to be these people in the scripture, not repeat the mistakes they made. And my prayer in my life, I hope you've lived long enough to not want to make the same mistakes you've seen other people make. I had a big advantage, in a sense. I had two brothers that kept going to jail for felonies. And it helped me realize, okay, probably those two yahoos, I shouldn't do what they're doing. And I kind of feel like the third bowl of porridge, you know, remember? I conflate my fairy tale stories, so if I get it a little bit wrong, don't hit me. I think it's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, right? And the first one's too hot, and next one's too cold, and the third one's just right. I'm the third son. I like to think I'm the third bowl of porridge. But the reality is, all of you laugh, but all of you think that about somebody in your life, like, that guy went off to the left side of the road, that guy went off the right side of the road. I'm kind of scared, my knuckles are shaking, I'm just kind of try to keep it here in the middle if I can. We need to look at examples, smoking wrecks on the side of the road, and learn how to drive better in terms of obedience. Amen? I'm not talking about traffic driving. I admitted to you already that I went the wrong way on an exit intentionally because I-70 was backed up for 2 hours, and I said, I'm not waiting 2 hours. I admitted to you I don't always do things right on the road perfectly. There's no traffic coming. I checked. No animals were harmed in the telling of this story or in the execution thereof. And I'm still alive, and my passengers are still alive. Yeah, I did it with passengers in the car, but they weren't very important people. It's like, just Julie. Was there anybody else there? Somebody else. It was just you and me? Pastor Michael. Pastor Michael's important. So I take it back. There was somebody important in the car. By the way, Pastor Michael was called to active duty in New Jersey. So if you've been missing him doing offering, I thought Pastor Todd did amazing today. And I'm grateful. Pastor Todd is willing to do anything that I ask him to do. And that's an amazing thing. I'm so grateful. You know, for years we didn't have that. And you know what? When you keep trying to do the right thing for a long time and you're doing it kind of by yourself, it's tough. So it's so encouraging to have more and more people seeing the vision of what God wants us to do here at Chi-Lai Crossroads and getting on board with that. I'm grateful. Okay, so don't be that guy. And we're going to see Joash here in our focus today. Joash's grandmother, Athaliah, killed all her grandchildren except Joash. You know why? Because Jehoiada the priest and his wife hid this baby, Joash, in the temple. And she's so evil, she never went to the temple. She was off worshiping Baal and getting the children of Israel to engage in idolatry and immorality and fornication, which is sex outside of marriage, and every evil thing you can imagine. That's exactly what she was trying to get them to do. And things have never changed in our world. The pull is to get God's people to do the wrong thing. That pull still exists. We have to, by yielding to the Spirit of God, we can resist that gravitational pull. So for 7 years, this little guy, he was probably pretty pale, is my guess. Have any of you ever owned a hermit crab? I had one, and I made a terrarium out of an olive oil can. It was a Bertolli brand olive oil can, and I named him Bertolli. And he grew. I fed him well and watered him well and petted his shell, and he thrived, and he grew. So I put another couple of shells in there, different sizes, so he could have his option, because that's what they do. They borrow a shell from some other crustacean. You guys know how this works, right? God made their body curved in a spiral. And when they outgrow their shell, I don't know how it works in their brain, but I imagine it's like this. It's like, it's getting a little tight in here. Wonder what else I could live in. And they're looking around, and pretty soon, their little feelers, you know, they're like, I think I like that one. And so he switched shells, and I watched him. And he was really pale. I mean, he was the palest hermit crab I've ever seen. He's probably the only hermit crab I've ever seen. But I'm just going to say that Bertolli hadn't had sun in a long time. Looks sort of like some of us right about now, right? Probably. But Bertolli was paler than you guys. Can you imagine how pale Joash was in the temple? 7 years, probably never saw the light of day. Because literally he was the last human on the planet for the line of Christ to continue through. Amazing. This wicked person, his own grandmother, killed everybody, all of his siblings except for him. They taught him the law. They gave him a copy of the law. And let's pick up the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, starting in verse 1. And Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was what? Right. In the sight of the Lord. And here's the clue to why it's his story was chosen. I chose his story to be don't be that guy. It says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord for a limited time, all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Is there a possibility that you could do right for a period of time and then go off the rails? It's a very real possibility, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Right, there's an evil devil that's trying to destroy Christians' lives and get them to get shipwrecked, to get put on a shelf in terms of their usefulness to the Lord. Now, God will use anybody, but you need to be available and yielded to His Spirit to be useful. If you indulge in sinful things, then it makes you less usable and less useful to the Lord. And we're going to, unfortunately, see Joash make some very bad choices, and we're going to see how these choices have impacted his life. Okay? It's easy to say I'm going to do the right thing. Have you guys ever noticed that your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks a lot louder than your talk talks? You guys have noticed this? There's a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm going to serve the Lord. Bless Jesus. Okay, well, good. Now let's see you do it. And it's easy to talk all spiritual and, oh, Lord, we beseech thee. Suddenly you come into church, you know, you you put down your bad addiction outside the door and you come inside and like, oh, dear Heavenly Father, oh, knock it off. Just talk to him like he's here. There's no need for us to be pious. Let's just be obedient. Let's just keep it simple. And we're going to see a guy who had some trouble with that, some major trouble with that. We're going to pick up the story in verse 4. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Okay, he's off to a great start. You ever see a race car off to a great start? Some of us are like that. We're off to a great start. Good, keep it up. Nothing wrong yet, but watch out. There's danger on the road. Almost hit a couple deer last night. There's danger on the road. Just a great start does not equal a great end. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said unto them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of the Lord your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit, the Levites hastened it not. They were not in the habit of being obedient to the Lord because Athaliah had been in power for so long. By the way, they had to kill Athaliah, by the way. And by the way, that's what should happen, by the way. If there's, and I'm saying at that time, there was an ungodly leader, God values good leadership. And I wish Joash had learned better from his grandmother what not to do, because we're about to see him make some huge mistakes, and it makes me sad even thinking about it. Okay, so they went out. They're supposed to gather this stuff. They didn't hasten it. Well, let's go to verse 14. And when they had finished it, so they went out. He finally got them on track. When they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of, and here's another clue, how long he did good. All the days of his mentor, the one who literally saved his life, the one who literally anointed him king, the one to whom he owed everything. Would Joash have even been alive without Jehoiada and his wife? No, physically he would have been dead as an infant. And he did right all the days of Jehoiada. Verse 15, and this happens, not to any of you, because none of you are old, but this does happen to people, I'm sure you've noticed. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David. If you watch news from Israel, as I do, you'll know that in the last couple weeks they discovered this beautiful gold ornament in the city of David. So Jerusalem proper is it's called the city of David, but there's a part of Jerusalem that is specifically where David lived. And so they're doing a lot of excavation right there, and it's super exciting. Some of us are going to Israel a week from tomorrow, and if you're not, sorry about that, but you can plan to come with us next year. It is amazing. I love Israel. So there's so much proof of the Bible, and they're digging up so much more proof all the time. You should get a subscription to Biblical Archaeology Review or pay attention to the websites that I follow are constantly, it's like popcorn. It's like, cool, another cool discovery. Poof, poof, another cool discovery. Just pay attention. It's cool. It's cool stuff. So within the city of David, here it is. They buried him there among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. I'd like to be buried and loved. I mean, I'd like to be loved when I die. Be nice, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you rather not be hated when you die? Because we're about to read a story of a guy who was hated when he died. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. That means they bowed down, probably kissed his ring or, you know, touched his toes, his yucky toes. I'm willing to touch your yucky toes. That's how I want to do what you want, O king. And we're going to call baloney on that right now, because they did not want to do what the king wanted. They were there to influence the king. And you're going to have a lot of people in your life that come to you acting like, Brody, come here. They're going to come to you, and they're going to say stuff like, I'm so proud our young people are sitting on the front row. You know, our young people led my class today. I'm so proud of our young people. We had a hard time with one part of the choir today in practice, and so we needed to practice a few more minutes, and so I asked one of the boys, can you get things started? I come in there and they're doing so good, I just let them go. But a lot of people are going to come to you and be like, and this happens in the Middle East, and if you're from the Middle East, just have a sense of humor, because this is how it is, and so don't call me a liar, because I've been in the Middle East as much as anybody from the West, almost. So when you're in the old city of Jerusalem and there's somebody that wants to make a sale, they'll come up to you and say, they'll stand in the door of their shop and you're walking by in a group, and they'll say something like, hey, come in, my friend, I have a special deal for you. And they'll put their arm around you and just gently guide you. They won't push you or pull you, but they'll gently guide you. And if you're willing to go, and you know, a number of times I've said, okay, sure, what do you have? And so come in the shop. And then usually it's like, for you, I have a special deal. Like something is special about him. No, it's what's special about him is he's got some cash on him. And I need to fleece my sheep. So people are going to come to you and they're going to say, I'm here to help you. But really, they want something from you. And what they want from you many times is they want you to become like the bowl of porridge that was too hot or the bowl of porridge that was too cold. They want you to stop serving the Lord. But they're going to approach you as nice as possible. They're going to put their arm around you like they're your friend, like like these princes of Israel coming and bowing down to the king. They have an agenda. And their agenda, they don't say it, but their agenda is to destroy you. And so I've had many fun conversations with shopkeepers, because when the economy is good in the Middle East, it is so much fun to bargain in the old city of Jerusalem. And I've bought chess sets that were marked at $120, and you walk out for $20. Or there's people in our group, I have a chess set that I bought for $20 in the old city of Jerusalem. I love getting a really good deal, and it is a blast to negotiate. Now, you can't do that in every shop in Israel, but there are some shops where you can, and we'll tell you where those shops are. And it's all good-natured, and you always compliment the shop owner on his great, he's like, you have a beautiful shop. You keep all the negotiation is in very nice words. it's beautiful, it's so beautiful, he might say, but I just can't afford that. I'm really sorry. And then as he starts to leave, what happens is I chase him. I'm like, no. Okay, I'll give you a better deal. Come back. And there's this process of like, and then they're like, I'm sorry, it's really beautiful stuff, but I can't afford it. But then it's like, oh, but okay, fine. Come on. And then he changes his tone when he gets you back in the store. He's like, no, how about we just do it? Because I have children. I have family to feed. You want me to starve? Have you no heart? So it's fun. Thank you. You did great. I don't know if you bought the thing. Did you buy whatever you came in to buy just now or not? No, okay. Didn't work out a deal. But the person that walks into your life is going to be trying to work out a deal with you where in some way you serve the Lord less. And that's exactly what the princes of the children of Israel came here. And it says, the last part of verse 17, it makes me so sad. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God. Oh no. There's a three-step process that happened here. They left the house of the Lord God of their fathers. And of course, that means just the worship of Jehovah. And of course, the temple in Jerusalem was the center of this worship and sacrifice. And his grandmother led the people astray and tried to kill him as part of that program. And he joins his dead grandmother, the one that tried to kill him, in trying to get the people off track. Why? Because somebody came and talked fancy to him and persuaded him to go the wrong way. Can I tell you that not every person that talks fancy or that makes assertions is exactly right on? You know what? You should test everything by the Word of God. This is truth. The words of Neil Darien aren't truth. I'm trying to speak truth, but I'm saying I'm a human, so don't trust me. Trust the Bible. Build your life on this book. And conversely, while I love you, every human I've ever met was a liar. So I don't trust your words either, but I trust this one. I trust these ones. God's words are going to last forever. Somebody comes and talks fancy to you and tries to get you to, in our case, we'll just make this modern. Oh, let's go leave a good church that's teaching the Word of God. You know why? Because I got offended over something that I manufactured out of whole cloth in my own pointy little head. Or I'm serving the Lord, but I'm just not doing it the way you are. Oh, okay. Well, I've seen this movie a lot of times, and I know how it ends, and it makes me very, very sad. Over the course of being here at Childlike Crossroads, I've seen dozens and dozens of people take this path, and it's the same path, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers. They might say, oh, I'm going to go to church somewhere else. Okay, I hope you do. And you know what? To this day, I love every single one of them, and I wish them the very best, and I pray for them, and I love them, and if I see them, I greet them and smile. But it makes me very sad when people make poor choices, and they're determined to go headlong off a cliff, and they don't think it's a cliff, because they're blind with bitterness or disobedience or something, and it doesn't matter how many times you call out to them or how many times you reach out to them or text them or ask, can we just talk? They are determined, and we're going to see what happened. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. That's the next step. They left where they were supposed to be. They started worshiping something else, and then the third part of it came, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. The law of sowing and reaping is an immutable law. You cannot sow one thing and reap something else. If you sow disobedience, you will reap judgment. God is a consuming fire, and I, by God's grace, am a messenger of His word. I do not get up here to try to say things that make you happy. I try to deliver God's message. God's message is, you stay on the right path. You don't get off the right path, no matter who talks fancy to you. Because if you do, take the first step. You leave the house of the Lord God of your fathers. The next thing you're going to be doing is serving groves and idols, and then wrath is going to come upon you. And I love you, and I don't want wrath to come upon you. You serve the Lord with all your heart. Verse 19, yet he sent prophets to them. So he's calling, he's texting, he's doing everything he can, and they're like, nope, ain't gonna listen. And he sent prophets unto them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, meaning the prophet stood up and spoke truth. And you know what happens a lot of times when the prophet stands up and speaks truth? The person who is acting out in their rebellion or their bitterness, they're like, they say evil things about the person who's delivering the good message. Testified against them, but they would not give ear. Verse 20, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of his mentor that saved his very life, that changed his little diapers. Julie usually changed our kids' diapers, but I was the one who emptied the diaper genie. You guys remember that thing? It was like a spiral, had this endless bag, and you put the diaper in, and when you close the lid, it spins at 360 degrees, and it's supposed to choke off the stinky air so that it stays inside the bag. Somehow, diaper genie air leaked out of the twist. It should have been a 720 instead of a 360, maybe. Little design error there, maybe. Because those things would, it was my job, and it was like this like eternal line of sausages when you emptied it, and you had to go throw it away. So maybe she did the dirty work, but I got some of the dirty work too when I took it to the trash. Jehoiada had to deal with all that stink to keep Joash alive. And yet, here comes Jehoiada's son, and here's what's going to happen. Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? You, Christian, cannot be disobedient to the Lord and prosper. You can paint it however you want to. You can call it, I'm just doing it a different way. God calls it disobedience. What do you call it? I'm just being me. I'm being true to myself. Yeah, you're right. You are. You're full of yourself. And that's exactly their problem. I have a good friend. I have an important meeting in Columbus tomorrow. If you guys would just pray for me that I could be a good blessing and an encouragement in that meeting that I'm leading tomorrow in Columbus, I'd appreciate that. But I have a friend that will probably be at that meeting, and he has a saying. His grandmother used to tell him, I won't say his first name. I'll make up a first name. I'll say his first name is Benny. Benny, you're smelling yourself. You know, like first time a kid discovers cologne and they put on half a bottle and they just sit there inhaling. Boy, do I smell good. And so the point was, you're just full of yourself. Don't be that way. Benny, you're smelling yourself. And in this case, now here's the king. Now he's just smelling himself. And the prophet is coming along and saying, knock it off, Junior. Just because you found the cologne, don't put it on so thick. You're full of yourself. Stop smelling yourself. Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he also hath forsaken you. Now those are words I would not ever want to hear. I need Jesus more than I need oxygen. And you do too. Verse 21, and they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. That means they killed him. Thus Joash the king, verse 22, remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, changing all those diapers, blending all that food. This is before Gerber Company was founded, blending all that food without a blender so the baby could eat it. He forgot all that kindness. And saving his life, installing him on the throne, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. And require it, God did. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people. You mean all the people that came and talked fancy? Brody, come here. All the people that came and talked fancy? Uh-huh. Where are they now? They're all dead. Now what you gonna do? All the people that talked you into going off the right path, they're dead. Now what are you gonna do? Do you think he'd soften his heart to serve the Lord? Nope, he didn't. Thank you. I'm not sure why I called you up here, except it was nice to see you. Destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. Verse 24, for the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hands. Joash had a big army, and a little band of men comes and beats his big army. You know why? Because he turned his back on serving the Lord. You want to poison your future? Embrace disobedience to the Lord. You want to hurt yourself in the long run, for long term, for keeps? You think you can outsmart God by doing it a different way and doing it how you think it ought to be done? Guess what? God is not impressed with how you think it ought to be done. God tells you how to do it in his word. I made a friend yesterday. I shared the gospel with a couple friends that I made yesterday, and one of them, we became very, very good friends. I just met them yesterday, and we became very good friends. He said, I used to try to color in the lines of doing what God wanted, and I thought I was a good representation of God because I was being so obedient. But in fact, I was full of myself and pride that I was doing everything just right, and if everybody would do things just right like me, things would turn out great for them too. And he said, what I realized that God convicted me of is that me doing all those things and being so impressed with myself was blocking the flow of God's love through me to other people. He says, now I understand that it's only the grace of God that allows me to show the love of Christ. And we had a great conversation. We talked about John the Baptist who said of Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. You know what Joash was here? Joash was so full of himself. Joash would take John the Baptist's statement and would say it like this. I must increase, and I must increase some more. How's that going to work for you spiritually? You're going to wind up like Joash. Don't be that guy. God's word is eternal. All flesh is grass. The grass grows and then it fades, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall endure forever. You want to have a life that's worth living and not be a train wreck like Joash? you live a life of obedience. And you remember your spiritual mentors, the people who invested in you for years. Don't get ungrateful. You know what I think Joash's original problem was? I think as a little 7-year-old boy getting crowned king, I think he started behaving like a 7-year-old boy after his mentor was dead. I think he kept his inner 7-year-old in check until the old guy keeled over. And then he's like, ha ha, I get to be me now. That's the last thing anybody wants, is for you to be that kind of you. That's the worst kind of you. The best kind of you is the one like John the Baptist, where he said, I must decrease, but he must increase. Meaning, the more you are yielded to God's Spirit, the more uniquely wonderful you become. We don't become clones. I'm uniquely, in case you didn't notice, I'm uniquely different than you. And you're uniquely different than me. And the more yielded you are to God, the more uniquely good we become. We don't become clones. We become uniquely ourselves. And so here's Joash saying, I'm going to become uniquely me in all the bad ways. No, that's wrong. The people mourn when somebody in power is doing wrong. Every one of you might not be a king who got crowned at age 7, but every one of you has people you influence. And if you are influencing the people in your life, you are influencing them. You have a responsibility to influence them for right. You have a responsibility to lead them the right direction. And the king was not leading them the right direction. And here's what happened. The middle of verse 24, the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment upon Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest and slew him on his bed, and he died. Is that what you want? The people that you're supposed to be leading, but you've led them the wrong way, they sneak in and kill you in the night? That's what happened here. I'm not sure if it was nighttime, but they killed him. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchers of the kings. In verse 16, we read that Jehoiada got buried in the sepulchers of the kings. Jehoiada was never king, but he deserved to be with the kings in memory. Joash, the ungrateful recipient of so much goodness, didn't deserve to be buried with the kings, and he wasn't. His life was ended early because his disobedience was great. What kind of a future do you want? Let's learn from him. Be grateful, number one. Be grateful. Everything you've ever been given was a gift from God. It's not a gift from me or some other human being. All good things, every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Every good thing comes from God. Be grateful to the Lord for all the good things you've received. Joash wasn't grateful. He was an entitled 7-year-old that could finally act out. He could finally be the bad kid in the nursery when the lady watching the nursery died. Okay, now I'm in charge here. I get all the Hot Wheel cars. Really? Like a nightmare. But that kid is more mature than an adult who tells God where to shove it. And that's exactly what Joash did. Joash was proud. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Don't be proud. You keep serving the Lord no matter what anybody else does. Because there's going to be a lot of people that come talk fancy to you and try to get you to go serve other gods. Leave the house of the Lord. They don't say right away, we're going to go serve other gods. They just say, get in the car, we're going to go do some fun. But it's not going to church. It's not being faithful. Eli, can you make us laugh? It's kind of getting depressing in here. Sometimes you have a day like this, right? Probably experienced this. Maybe Eli is not going to make us laugh. All right, let's see what we got. Okay, yeah. When you ask me how I'm doing and I say I'm functioning, this is what I mean. Now, you might, in your Christian life, kind of have lives a day like this. And in fact, I've had a lot of them lately. But you know what I learned? And I'm learning. When I whisper to the Lord 100 times a day, I don't think I can keep doing this. He whispers back, you aren't supposed to keep doing this. You're supposed to rely on me. When I'm out of energy and I'm out of strength and I'm discouraged, it's because I'm relying on my own resources, and I was never designed to rely on my own resources. I was only designed to rely on the Lord. You ever get to a point where you're like, I'm about ready. I'm just going to tap out. This serving the Lord stuff is hard. Yeah, it is, but the rewards are way better if you stick with it. And even if you look like that sink, don't throw in the towel. Just keep going. Serve the Lord. Because it's not about us, it's about God and others. Would you pray that all 400 people that come to the event this Saturday, that many of them, if any of them haven't trusted Christ, that they'll trust Christ? Would you pray for that? Do you guys realize what a huge spiritual battle there is right now in the community? Do you recognize the scope of it? There is eternal souls that are on the line. And 340 tickets have been sold, but there are 60 seats that are open that could potentially, somebody could sit in those seats that hasn't trusted Christ. They could trust Christ. If every one of us in this room sold one ticket and brought one friend, we'd be oversold by a lot. Can you consider and recognize that God puts you here on the planet to do a job? And that if God gave you a spiritual mentor, you have the privilege of responding with the answer yes to that spiritual mentor. And you have the privilege of developing good habits and then maintaining them after the spiritual mentor dies. Can you pick up as much good as you possibly can while you can? And do it now, but then do it in the future after that good influence has faded out of your life. Can you determine, I'm not going to let pride derail me. I'm not going to smell myself. Another friend in that same context suggested that if we pose a particular question in a particular setting, that the person could smart themselves. I said, what? They can smart themselves. What are you talking about? Well, they can hold forth on how much they know. The more people you talk to, the more you learn. One guy says his grandmother told him he was smelling himself. The next guy says, let's pose the question this way, and he can smart himself. Okay, I'm learning. I'm slow, but I'm learning. You and I aren't smart enough to smart ourselves. We need the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to tell you that a soul is worth how much? $20. $65. How much is a soul worth? How many empty seats are coming up for our wild game dinner? There's going to be none. Thank you. I like you. But that'll only happen if you guys will do it. You know why? Because I turned off my Facebook ads. And I'm counting only on you guys. Julie and I are headed to Sam's Club to get a bunch of stuff for the Wild Game Dinner, and my prayer is you're going to take tickets and you're going to get them sold today, and you're going to text me at the number up there on the screen and say, hey, I sold this many, and we're going to tally that all up by midnight, and this event's going to be full. You know why it ought to be midnight tonight as the deadline? Because if tomorrow morning happens when your alarm goes off, your life's going to resume, and we're going to arrive here on Saturday with 60 empty seats. So can I encourage you to go see your neighbor? Don't text the word welcome. Text, I sold 10 tickets, 10 premier tickets. I don't care what you do, but I want every seat full. You know why? Because every seat could hold a person, and every person has a soul that's worth the whole world. And we're playing for all the marbles, we're playing for keeps. God put us on this planet to be serious, to take His word seriously, and to put our whole heart into obeying Him. Josiah did not do it. And Josiah got killed and died early because he was an idiot. Let's not be idiots. Let's be obedient. Don't be that guy. Instead, trust that Christ died for your sins and rose again. The moment you trust that he did that for you, he gives you the free gift of eternal life. If you've never trusted that Christ died for your sins and rose again, this would be a perfect opportunity. Because there's crazy people driving down County Road 10. You do not want to get out on that road again until you trust Christ. Because you don't know where you're going until you trust Christ. Trust that Christ died for your sins and rose again. Let's look at the verse over here on the wall. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have right now, present tense, everlasting life. The moment you trust him, you're saved forever. You're kept in Jesus' hand, the Father's hand. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30, you are double wrapped and sealed. And your destination is heaven. I love it. Julie ordered a package from Amazon this week, and she addressed it to some unknown neighbor on some unknown road. And by the grace of God, we know the mail lady. She attends here, and some of her great kids are present this morning. She might be here somewhere. She's in the nursery. She's an amazing person. Let's make sure she doesn't serve in the nursery more than once a month, just for at least on the schedule, because after being this heroic, nobody else has a personal mailman. Apparently we do. She texted me a picture of the label yesterday and said, "Do you want this delivered to this address?" It had our name, Julie's name, and somebody else's address. I said, "It'd be really delightful if you could deliver that to the church or our house." And I didn't have to tell her where that was. She knows where they both are. And sure enough, boom, there's the package. The moment you trust Christ, you're addressed correctly. Your destination is heaven, and you're going to make it. Pretty awesome. Even if somebody else messes up the address, you're going to make it. And that's because God's grace is so good. All right. Let's let the kids come on in, and that's fine. They can come on in, and as we are wrapping up the service today, let me just encourage all of you right now, if you haven't trusted Christ, please do it. Why? Because eternity matters. So trust that Christ died for your sins and rose again. It's a very, very big deal. And then pray that God will use you to reach others with the same good news, okay? You should be excited about your salvation. Anybody here excited about your salvation? Anybody here excited you're not going to hell? Okay, well, let's act excited. Because let's be excited, because we've been addressed correctly, unlike my dear wife and Amazon. We've been addressed correctly. We're double wrapped and sealed. We're bound for heaven. Let's take some folks with us. Let's put a little power to it. Let's not be complacent. Oh, I got my salvation. I guess I'll just go to sleep and let the world go to hell. None of you think that, but if you ever do, don't ever admit it to anybody. Instead, kneel down and confess your awful, stinking attitude and get right at the foot of the cross, and then go serve the Lord. Don't be Joe Ash. Don't be that guy.